been to tonight's bracket season recap. My name's Nicholas Hodel. Happy to have you alongside from Phoenix. Nick Keeley unable to join tonight. And obviously, yesterday, kind of a lot of different things got in the way for both of us. But I am back tonight. And what better time to be on the road to the Selection Sunday program, as two bids tonight were clinched into the NCAA tournament instead of the traditional one on the first Saturday of bracket season. And of course, the traditional one is out in the Ohio Valley Conference, and it was an absolute thrilling contest. Southeast Missouri State going to the Big Dance for the first time since 2000 after an overtime finish. A regulation finish that was just unbelievable. Tennessee Tech, the deep two-pointer to go to overtime. Tennessee Tech thought they won it. They called it a three, and the floor was reverted back to a two. Tennessee Tech playing really well in the overtime until Southeast Missouri State really got away at the end of overtime. I think CMU was very fortunate. They blew it in regulation. I'll be completely honest. I thought they absolutely blew it in regulation, but they recovered very well. Really, the back half of overtime, they really recovered well. And a 19-16 Southeast Missouri State team is going to the Big Dance. The Red Hawks, for the first time since 2000, always good to have these kinds of stories. You're going to see a lot more of them coming out of the OVC without Murray State and Belmont going forward. I had thought Morehead State was really set up to win this year, but Southeast Missouri State going 4 games, 4 days to win it. And they have done an outstanding job really along the way. And you just kind of look at the different possession numbers kind of online with what you would have expected really throughout the season. A little bit faster than normal pace against Lindenwood and Tennessee State. Doing a really good job against Morehead State, particularly limiting Morehead State on the scoring side of things. I thought they did an excellent job there than the game against Tennessee Tech. So they're going to be in the first four in Dayton. These Red Hawks will be out to the top 250 in KenPom. Really not all that convincing against some of the power opponents they've played this year. So, again, it's a first four situation for the Red Hawks. And perhaps their opponent, if the committee chooses to put them against the Northeast Conference auto bid representative, was also known. Fairleigh Dickinson will get the auto bid. They will play Merrimack in the NEC Championship on Tuesday night. But because of Merrimack's transitional period ending this year, Merrimack still has one more year. They cannot go to the Big Dance. So it is Fairleigh Dickinson after a semifinal win against St. Francis, Pennsylvania. And Fairleigh Dickinson, I'm going to be completely honest with you, does not stand a chance. Not even in the first four, in my opinion. The defense is it's bad. It's really bad analytically. But they found a way to just kind of carry momentum into March. They had lost 3 out of 5 and 4 out of 7 come into the NEC tournament, but two convincing home wins against both St. Francis's, the one from Brooklyn and the one from Pennsylvania, gets the job done for Fairleigh Dickinson with the 361st best adjusted defensive efficiency in the country. So congrats to Fairleigh Dickinson. I do not believe they will win against Merrimack. I think Merrimack wins against them going away. I don't think it'll be very comfortable for about 35 minutes of that game. But I think Murray Mack will find a way with its defense to really stifle Fairleigh Dickinson. If it's off the going, I think that'll be it for Murray Mack and to have put in another major accomplishment. And what I think you can say is the greatest transitional period for any school in history that Murray Mack has had. It's been really impressive, really fun to watch them accomplish what they've done over the last 4 years, knowing they could not go to the NCAA tournament. Two regular season titles in the NEC. They're 40 minutes away from an NEC tournament championship to go along with it. Truly outstanding stuff that Merrimack has done. Of course, not the only stuff by far in bracket season, as there are some thrilling finishes. Pretty much everywhere you could look. Campbell Getting the job done in the final seconds thanks to Anthony Del Orso. His game-winning jumper sends the 7th seed Campbell into the final against UNC Asheville, who had some stuff they had to go through as well against a UFC Upstate team who was the beneficiary of a choke job from Gardner Webb on the quarterfinal Friday in the Big South. Really, first off, I'll talk about Campbell first here. Their performance against Radford, I mean, wow. I mean, Radford had control for a lot of this game. They went into a really bad slump for about 5 minutes or so. That allowed Campbell to get themselves back into things, back in control in the lead, really tight throughout. And Del Orso, he had 23 points on the game. He was fantastic with 4 boards, 7 of 60 from the field, including that game winner, and 6 of 7 from the line. He truly was absolutely terrific for the Campbell Fighting Camels. And just overall, Campbell has been on one in this tournament. 55% shooting in this particular semifinal. Their quarterfinal win on Friday against Longwood, they were also really impressive. 53% from the field. So these last 2 days have just kind of been the epitome of what can happen when you get hot at the right time. You start winning games, you start pulling off some major upsets. Excuse me there. So now the big challenge for Campbell is, can they do it against UNC Asheville? Against the team that has dominated the Big South Conference this year. You look back at previous meetings, Asheville won by 3 at home against Campbell, and then by 13 on the road against Campbell. So a head-to-head season sweep for UNC Asheville. Not surprised by that particular scenario. And certainly an opportunity, I think, for UNC Asheville to play its way into the tournament pretty much comfortably, in my honest opinion. I think that's going to be a comfortable win for UNC Asheville. But if Campbell has it on again, it will not be a dominant performance. It'll be a very tight game, and one that Campbell has an opportunity to win. So really looking forward to seeing that particular final. It's a 11 a.m. Arizona time, 1 p.m. Eastern final on ESPN2 out in Missouri Valley. Also, a lot of stuff happening. It is going to be the Bradley Drake final, but I think a lot of people, including myself, were anticipating Bradley, a 1-point win over Indiana State. Truly an absolutely thrilling contest within this game. Bradley had control really throughout the second half until Indiana State made things really interesting at the end. And Bradley, again, survive in advance. That is exactly what you have to do this time of the year. They did it in the quarters. They did it in the semis. Of course, the big question is, can they thrive against a Drake team who won by 13 earlier today in the fourth against Southern Illinois? Not particularly close from about the midway point of the second half onward. A little bit before that, Drake was clearly the better team in this game. Wasn't really all that tight within that second half in particular. And for Drake, really good balance. 4 of the 5 starters scoring 10 or more, including DeFreeze of 12 and Roman Penn leading the team of 16. Drake's gonna be a hard out. I mean, I don't think anyone's as surprised by this. I think Drake has been thinking of revenge this whole time after that loss in the regular season that gave Bradley the regular season championship. So it's a major opportunity. It's a 12 p.m. Arizona time tip, 2 p.m. Eastern CBS. That's gonna be quite one to watch there. Really looking forward to seeing how that plays out. And, of course, elsewhere in conference tournament action, the Sun Belt has really flipped upside down now as both the top seeds are gone. Marshall and Southern Miss are gone. Texas State pulls off an incredible performance against Marshall. Texas State, the 11 seed. They have done fantastic the last 2 days. Really, another one of those really big, thrilling finishes. Good shooting from Texas State. That's typically how you do it within this time of the year. And it's a really good game after Texas State just stifled Old Dominion on Thursday. Really, really big stuff there. We had talked about that, Nick and I, over the course of that particular show on Thursday night. So now Texas State has an opportunity against Louisiana. You know, at some point, this is going to come to an end. Like, I don't believe in Texas State for 2 months longer. I think Louisiana finds a way. But certainly an opportunity for Texas State to really make things interesting in that Sun Belt. Southern Miss is also gone. And they got utterly destroyed by South Alabama. This game was close again until about the six-minute mark in the second half. South Alabama turned it on. Southern Miss got cold, and that was it. That was all she wrote. Really a shame for Southern Miss. They'll be in the NIT as the regular season auto bid in the Sun Belt Conference. But Southern Miss, I think, is a team that can make things interesting on a power conference team in the NIT. I really think Southern Miss has that ability to make things very interesting. But you look at South Alabama, you know, 9-9 in the conference. Now on Sunday, semifinal Sunday, they'll get James Madison. They'll have an opportunity to beat them as well. And James Madison had a really thrilling semi in its quarter, I should say, in its own right against Troy at 75-72 the final. Really thrilling finish. Down to the wire, Troy made things incredibly interesting after being down by 9 with less than 3 minutes to go. Made things incredibly interesting down the stretch. So, again, South Alabama, James Madison, Texas State, Louisiana is how this will all go down in the Sun Belt. Out in the Southern Conference, they held their quarterfinals and several upsets. A couple of them, Furman and Western Carolina, got their jobs done pretty easily. Wofford, on a buzzer beater, upsetting UNCG in the quarter, 67-66. Another one of those typical March plays. Really good inbound. Wofford attacking the basket, down one. That's what you do. You attack the basket when you're down one. You try to attack the basket. Really good lob to someone mid-range. Had a really good drive in. That's what you do. You do not try to force up any kind of three in that scenario. So there are several teams in this country that will do that. And so Wofford gets the job done. It'll be a 6-7 semifinal after Chattanooga, with Jake Stevens back, defeats Samford. And Chattanooga's one of those teams, they had lost Jake Stevens for a long time, and they are just trying to hold things steady until he got back. Well, he's back all right. Jake Stevens, 21 points, 5 boards, 4 assists. Not even a leading scorer on the team. That would go to Jamal Johnson, the senior guard. 25 points, 5 boards, 3 assists. I mean, just those two guys alone and some other really solid contributors makes Chattanooga dangerous. And that one game against Wofford is going to be something very intriguing on Sunday at 4:30 Arizona time, 6:30 Eastern. So it is, again, Chattanooga, Wofford, and Western Carolina, Furman. And this, to me, opens the door wide open for Furman. Furman had their hearts broken by Chattanooga last year. Would love to see the rematch if that does end up happening between the two teams. But I think Furman has a big advantage over Chattanooga this year. And Wofford, for that matter. Furman has been an exceptional team. Really good stars on that roster. And Furman now, with both the 2 and the 3 seeds gone, than the two teams that I thought would give them the most trouble in a possible final, they're both gone. So Furman, really, at this point, needs to really just focus on themselves at this point and focus on the little things that they can do. And if they're able to do that, I think they're dancing, honestly. I really believe that they will be dancing as long as they don't do anything silly and really just try to keep it simple. Keep it simple on themselves. And ultimately, I think that's going to lead to some really, really good things. The America East had their quarterfinals as well. Nothing too surprising here, as three of the top four seeds got wins. Vermont, New Hampshire, and UMass Lowell. Binghamton against UMBC was the only major surprise here. 67-65, the final. In one of those scenarios where both these teams, and they're very tightly contested against each other, so perhaps not too surprising that that was the particular outcome there. So on Tuesday, it'll be New Hampshire and UMass Lowell. By the way, two teams have never made the tournament. And Vermont and Binghamton there in the other semifinal on Tuesday. Out in the America East Conference. Still think it's Vermont's conference to lose at this particular point. Nothing really has changed in that regard for me on that particular team. Looking through the rest of it, we have so many brackets in the power conferences now. We'll talk about that tomorrow night. And just real quickly in the Summit League, Oral Roberts, South Dakota State getting the job done. Nothing too incredibly crazy there to discuss. Both of teams were pretty comfortable within their particular quarterfinals. Kind of exactly what the doctor ordered for both of those particular teams. So, again, like I mentioned, there are so many power conference brackets out. I'll talk about that all tomorrow, Sunday, March 5th, on our usual live slot on Blaze Radio, blazeradioonline.com. Some of the bigger regular season games before the Power Conference is prepared for their conference tournaments. Alabama losing the road to Texas A&M 67-61. This was an interesting one where A&M had a big advantage after halftime. And Alabama made things really interesting for most of the second half. And Texas A&M just found a way to win it going away. In the end, I think for Alabama, you know, I think losing now is probably a good thing. Losing now when there's just nothing at stake, nothing major's on the line, you got nothing to play for, except to really solidify a number one seed, nothing to play for. It's just get better, learn from the loss, and move on to the SEC tournament, where you will face more hostile environments. Right now, Alabama is probably one of the biggest teams on America's hate list because of the Brandon Miller situation. I cannot blame them for that whatsoever. Alabama is going to have to learn to deal with it. They will not be in the comfy confines of Tuscaloosa anymore, where all the fans will have their back. They have to find a way to figure out how to play in hostile environments in this time of year. And they will have a big, big test in the SEC tournament. On doing that. Iowa State over Baylor by 15. This is the kind of performance that makes me think Iowa State can do it again in the Big 12 tournament. And these teams over there are cracking at each other in Kansas City. I absolutely believe this is doable for Iowa State in the 4-5 matchup, the quarterfinals. Just a really good performance here. They know what they got to do. I mean, Iowa State shot the ball really well. That's part of it. But Baylor just did not shoot the ball very well at all. Iowa State rebounded at a very comfortable margin. And that's really exactly what you have to do, really. It's a really good effort from Iowa State. I think they'll be able to do it again. It's going to be really hard. You know, teams like Baylor, they get to a certain point in the country just simply because of, you know, the rebound ability. You know, they're not dropping 2, 3, 4 games in a row most of the time. So that's a big opportunity coming up, really, for both those teams. For Baylor to recover, for Iowa State to make that massive statement of, we're here, we're not going anywhere. And that opportunity lies for Iowa State at the Big 12 tournament. Providence getting absolutely gobsmacked by Seton Hall. This is a major surprise. After a run, really, late in that first half, wasn't close. Wasn't close. I'm really impressed by Seton Hall here. And the gap between them and Providence was really so, so large. So, kind of like none of those teams had much to play for. But, you know, you get that Seton Hall and Madison Square Garden combined with a really against the Villanova team of Justin Moore that can be really, really good. The Big East tournament's going to be so much fun. So much fun to watch. Cannot wait for that. West Virginia at home getting the job done over Kansas State. And another really impressive one there. Auburn at home over Tennessee. That's a huge one for Auburn. That probably seals their ticket into the NCAA tournament. As does the West Virginia win over Kansas State. That probably gets the job done secure, really, no matter what. Texas over Kansas at home, I think, is a big one for that particular regard. It doesn't really change my opinion about either of these teams. They're both exceptional teams. I still think Kansas is the favorite to win the Big 12 tournament. So you got to think about it as a semi-home environment in Kansas City. That's what you have to think about it as. So I like that particular win for Texas because it shows intent. It shows Kansas that, hey, if you're not careful, we will beat you. And that would be for the Big 12 tournament championship. You know, Texas is basically saying, hey, we're still here and we can beat you. And also, hey, select a committee, we can beat them. We can beat them. That's a big deal to me. Miami over Pitt. Pitt blew it. Pitt choked the ACC tournament double bye this week. Absolutely choked it. So they're the 5 seed going in to the ACC tournament. Again, I'll talk more about that bracket tomorrow night on Blaze Radio. Arizona losing UCLA, I should say. But UCLA loses a big contributor, really, for who knows, really, how long. It's really unfortunate. Jalen Clark went down with an injury. MRI scheduled for Sunday, but really an unfortunate situation for UCLA. Without him, you know, it's an interesting situation. One of the better contributors off the bench, but at least in this game anyway. UCLA on senior night wanted to get one of their seniors, Russell Strong, an opportunity to start Saturday. So now it really comes down to who that sixth man is going to be. Who do you trust to get starting minutes for the Bruins? That'll be interesting to see play out there for the Bruins. So again, that's a lot of the major regular season results. Tomorrow, Sunday, a lot of big games. The Big Ten ends the regular season. It's going to be pure chaos. Pure chaos. So many teams just jockeying for position in the ACC race. Michigan State, they did their job Saturday. It was an 84-78 win. They go to 11-8. They are now one of so many teams at that 11-8 mark. One of 7 teams at that mark. Truly unreal. Truly, truly unreal. And you look at the Sunday slate in the Big Ten, you get Illinois and Purdue, Maryland and Penn State is a crucial one for Maryland. Nebraska and Iowa. Iowa also one of those teams. Michigan and Indiana will be directly for Big Ten tournament seeding. Both of them 11-8 in conference play. Northwestern and Rutgers will be directly for Big Ten tournament seeding. Rutgers 10-9. Northwestern 11-8. So much is on the line. And then Wisconsin in a must-win situation against Minnesota if it wants any shot at the NCAA tournament, at least in my opinion. So there's a lot that can happen in the Big Ten Sunday. We'll talk about a little bit of it as well Sunday Night Live on Blaze Radio. BlazeRadioOnline.com. Again, that's the place to be tomorrow night. as we'll discuss everything you need to know from the big games on Sunday, the MVC Tournament Championship, Drake and Bradley. That's going to be a lot of fun. The Big South Final, Campbell against UNC Asheville. And the final I'm looking forward to the most out of the A-Sun, Liberty and Kennesaw State. That is going to be so much fun. That is appointment television, in my opinion. And we'll have all the coverage of that, of all of those games. SoCon semifinals, Patriot League semifinals, Sun Belt semifinals. So a lot of fun stuff coming up there for you. And we cannot wait to bring that to you on Blaze Radio Live, 7 o'clock Arizona time, 9 p.m. Eastern. And of course, soon after the show ends on your preferred podcast platforms. That'll do it for me tonight. I'm Nicholas Hodell signing off. We'll catch you on Blaze Radio Live tomorrow.